Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 hello. Welcome to another episode of Couch Conversation. This show is an outreach of Blessed and Know It Ministries. We are located in Indianapolis, Indiana, and our motto is life is worth living and living out loud. We are super duper excited you guys have taken your time to join us today. I'm your host, Rev J, and I'm so ready to jump into this. You guys have just flooded our inboxes with information on this hot topic. Who knew that guilt and shame would be as popular as it is? But I'm excited about that. You know, the fact that we'll get some conclusions and we just won't leave people out there, and that it really is something that's affecting people right here, right now. And so since I was excited, I reached out and I was like, hey, guest, would you like to be on the show? Let's talk about what guilt and shame is and how we see it in our industry. And my guest said, yeah, let's do that. So joining us this evening, tonight, wherever you are, is Mr. Jack Thomas of Laser Project in Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome, Mr. Thomas. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I am great. So before we jump into guilt and shame, can you tell us a little bit about this Laser Project that we keep seeing on Facebook?
Well, Laser stands for Literacy, Arts, Skills, Empowerment, and Recreation. We are a local mentoring agency who have a focus on education. One area in our kids' lives. We talk about mentoring. We talk about jobs. We talk about role models. We talk about everything but education. And education is playing its part in the decision-making of our teens as well as their future. And so that's an area that we decide to focus on as well as parenting. Because a lot of kids do not have those role models, or they don't have those strong parents who are in their lives helping them or guiding them in the right direction.
That's what's up. So how does someone who's interested in, I guess, partnering, collaborating, or joining up with Laser do that? And do you have, like, volunteer opportunities right now?
We have plenty of volunteer opportunities, and we are looking for volunteers. First of all, please check us out on Facebook at Laser Project Indy, and then you can find us on the web, www.thelaserproject.com. And if you want to get in contact with us, please feel free to send an email at contact@laserproject.com. Once again, that's contact@thelaserproject.com.
Awesome. So, the industry that you're in with the mentoring, with the kids, with the parents, great industry, definitely needed. How or where have you noticed guilt, shame, or regret in talking with some of these parents? Where are you seeing this?
You see it a lot. In the courtroom, the juvenile detention center here in Indianapolis, it's almost like an amazing field trip for your kids or whoever if you've never been. This place stays packed. It does not matter what time of day. And if you sit in there as a provider, I've had the opportunity to sit in there amongst parents or amongst guardians, and you just hear them talking. You hear them talking. You hear the things that they're saying. A lot of them are upset. A lot of them often want to blame themselves for not doing something or blame themselves for letting their kid go do something. But it's as if they waited too late. So now I've let this go on for so long. So now we're here. And now I got to miss work. You told me my court time was at 8:30. Here it is noon. We still haven't went back. So now, what am I facing? The possibility of losing my job, as well as I still got to sit here with you, and they talking about sending you to boys' school for the next 5 years.
Ooh, okay. So that's deeper than I thought. Okay. So what you're saying is you're seeing it on the pretty much like the tail end when it's already at the judicial system.
Yes.
That's when you're seeing regret. And then you see the parents who have a little bit of guilt about their role to play in their children's choices.
Yes.
Do you mentor before the DCS system gets involved?
That is a big problem here in the city of Indianapolis. There's a lot of intervention, but there's no prevention. And so the way the model is set up, kids normally have already been to juvenile, locked up, or been involved in, whether it's DCS or the juvenile system, maybe 5 to 6 times before they offer a mentor. So now they're given a mentor, and everyone is expecting this mentor to perform a miracle in 4 to 5 months. When we saw signs beforehand of this kid or whomever getting in trouble, not going to school, parents not involved, we saw the early signs. We didn't think then it's time to get this kid involved in something positive. We waited until they committed an act.
Wow. Okay. So the prevention side is not really the highlighted or the popular or the lucrative side of mentoring. So right now it's the intervention and then the expectation of some sort of miracle happening to get involved in the kid's life. So after you have a kid who goes through the DCS system, the judicial system, and they get out, are you seeing a lot of the kids return to the same situation? Is there something set up so when they do get out, they are encouraged to maintain a different path? What do you see?
A lot of times, kids are just released. And the problem is there is no follow-up. There is no program or anything in place to guide these kids or family along the way. And so the problem is, if we just be honest, there's more money in intervention. I need you to keep getting in trouble so you can keep coming to court. Now you're in court, it's 6 people in there. I got a judge. I got my assistant to my left. I got the state. I got this public defender that I'm just going to throw you so we can just put on paper that you got somebody by your side. I have probation in there as well as other workers. So we all making some type of money off of you because you got in trouble. And so there is no money in the cure. So why would we do it? We need you to keep coming back. I can't just flat out say that, but I need you to keep coming back. I'm a probation officer. If you're not on probation, I don't have a job. So I need somebody on probation so I can get up and come to work every day.
So the for-profit prison system goes even before the prison. It goes into the courtroom. It goes before the courtroom into the DCS system. It goes before the DCS system into the classroom. So the school-to-prison pipeline, none of this stuff is missed. This is all reality?
It is a big reality, a reality that some of us choose to ignore, but it is real and it is happening on a daily basis. If you get the opportunity to visit some of these schools, there honestly is no structure, or B, the teachers have no patience, especially when it comes to black children. And so a lot of kids are sent to school, they have already been targeted due to past behaviors. And so there's zero tolerance for the smallest little things as far as they come to putting them out of school or not wanting to help or teach.
Okay. So, as a parent who may be sitting beside a child who has found themselves in the judicial system, I may have some regrets about this. What are some actions I can take that might have prevented this from happening? Like, what are some tools that parents actually have access to that would help them be better at preventing this?
There are a lot of programs around the city, and there's often events for youth that go on a daily basis. And so a lot of problems that I see, or a lot of problems that we run into, is a local small grassroots organization may host an event that can really help kids, inspire, or encourage, but parents or guardians will not transport kids to these events. If we check our timelines on Facebook, we all got it. I mean, we can't even enjoy a decent meal in today's world without holding a phone in our hand. That's another story for another day. There are events. There are a bunch of organizations. Shout out to Arnetta Scruggs and the Bloom Project. Doing things. We have a Center for Leadership Development out there on the west side. I give a shout out to my boy D. Ross with the Ross Foundation. Boys and Girls Clubs. There's often things going on. Even that Laser Project, I kind of find it amusing. You know, whether we ask for a price or we offer free tutoring, we don't get the response that I feel we should get. And which is fine, but like I said, I understand why. And so when it comes to materialistic things, we don't mind spending money on that. But something that can educate or help our kid, something that can prevent them or possibly help them in their future, we don't invest in that. And so that is a big major problem or issue. So the resources are actually there. The resources are there to get kids involved. There's a bunch of things in this city. There's a bunch of organizations. But when it comes to transportation and getting kids to those programs, that does not happen. There's often an excuse.
Wow. Okay. I, too, have run into this with Laser Project, with a couple of other organizations, that it just doesn't seem like the parental involvement is there. What I've noticed a lot of times previous to this latest adventure that we're on is that the parents will come out for sports events, even in the elementary and middle school level. They'll come out and support the sports events. But parent-teacher conferences, we don't see them, or PTA meetings, we don't see them. Do you have a take on why that is?
I think I do. And for some reason, we've forgotten our role as parents, or what we should do. If it doesn't benefit us, we don't want anything to do with it. And so another sad part that we have to face when it comes to kids, due to the fact that there are a lot of single parent homes. And so I understand that whomever that parent may be, whether single mother, single father, may be working or may have a lot going on. But children, or a lot of kids in today's world, are just looked at to some parents as a problem or something that's in my way. I went out one night. I had a good time. I hooked up with somebody. 9 months later, this baby came. Now I don't want nothing to do with you. You messed up my fun. You messed up my night. And so we got a lot of kids that's growing up that way. So parent-teacher conference, nah, I'm not going to that. Young Jeezy concert, Lil Boosie coming to Indianapolis. Come on, girl, we got to go get these outfits. We going. Y'all can sit, the kids can sit at home. I bring that up because, and shout out to Reclaiming the Village, local organization as well, who work often in the public school systems, teaching conflict resolution in their program that they call Real Men Read. And for the schools that are involved with that program, the kids have a registration form that they fill out, and this company offers free exposure trips or field trips for the kids all year round. There's an etiquette tee, there's a trip to Chicago. They go to the NCAA football game, the Big Ten Championship, Circle City Class, all these events. And so all the parents have to do is fill out the permission slip and have the kid bring it back to school. And we have such a hard time with that. And there was a field trip. The trips are normally on Saturdays, and all the parents have to do is drop the kids off at a designated spot at a certain time and then pick them up. And one boy actually said this out loud. He wasn't supposed to because his brother ended up hitting him when he said it. Like, my mama said we can't go to that trip because she got to go to the concert. This was last year, like April or May. I forgot who was coming in town. Mm-hmm. So I kind of looked like, okay, drop-off time is 9 a.m. Concert, I'm pretty sure, ain't till 10 or 11 p.m. But that's the excuse that you told your kids.
So let me make sure I'm understanding you correctly. The little steps of, like, school neglect, homework neglect, not taking advantage of free or low-cost resources, all of these small steps are leading up to a bigger problem. And that problem usually ends up in the DCS or the court system. Is that what you're saying?
You are absolutely right. As we say, it's the little things that count.
Right, okay. So when you have a parent who comes to you, because you also work with parents who comes to you and they do have this regret, what's one of the tools or one of the conversations that you, hard conversations you have to have with them to help them to make the plan to move forward? What does that sound like?
You often have to explain to them, or when it comes to parenting, it's time to be a parent and not a friend. And your child should not just have access to run in and out of your house whenever they want to. And my heart goes out to any youth or family out here that's experience loss or through shooting or any other type of violent act that's caused a teen to die. But the one thing that I pay attention to is I always pay attention to the time of the crime.
Mm.
And we do have things that happen during the day, so I don't want anybody to misquote me on that. But there's often a lot of times where these kids are out after midnight. And they're 13, 14, 15, and 16 years old. And so for me, the hard conversation is honestly looking at the facts. So, yes, I sympathize with you. Trust me, I do. But we got to look at the facts. We can't blame. We can't keep talking about the city. We can't blame it on the white man. We can't do that. Why was this 13, 14, 15, or 16-year-old outside at 2 or 3 in the morning? I'm grown, and I'm scared to be out there late or early, if that's what you want to call it. How we got this kid out here, and we wondering why something is happening.
Mm.
And so the hard conversation to answer your question is just basically breaking down the facts of what really happened with them, because they often try to come up with another story or not give all the details, or what I like to call blame shift. Blame it on somebody else, blame it on something else. But the key part to blame shifting is the first two letters in blame shift, BS. You BSing yourself and me. Stop blame shifting. It's nobody else's problem. It's nobody else. You know exactly what happened. You know why. It's not blame shifted or anything.
Okay. So I have a question. Okay. So I have a question. So we do have a lot of single parent homes. Got that.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have a lot of kids who are, quote unquote, running the home because parents haven't taken their next step. I get that. I do parent mentoring with a company called Divine Intervention. I get that all day long. what does Laser have in place for, let's say, the single dad who's like, you know what, I'm trying. Look, I only get my son 2-3 days a month. What can I do in those 2-3 days a month that's really going to make a difference in his life, that's really going to let him see something different? Is Laser addressing that issue, and if so, how?
We are. Laser Project is starting a movement here in Indianapolis that we're calling Dads and Donuts. And this is for all fathers. But yes, we are targeting the younger fathers, ages 14 to 30. But these events are for all fathers in the city. And what you will do is on a Saturday, once a month, you will come and eat breakfast with your kids. It don't cost you anything. You just have to sign up. There's information about that on our Facebook page, or once again, you can send an email to contact@thelaserproject.com. Once you sign up and we have your head count, you can come enjoy a free breakfast with your kid at our restaurant, which is located off of 34th and College.
Wow. So what is the next date of this Dads and Donuts? When is it?
It will. The first session will be on September the 23rd from 10 a.m. to noon.
So in 10 days, Laser Project is sponsoring a free breakfast for dads to bring their kids out and to enjoy that time with them. During that session, they're going to get a free cooked meal. So not just a donut, but a whole cooked meal.
Yes, there will be a cooked meal, but donuts will be on the menu.
Okay. And then during that session, what else, like, is there going to be some talking? What else is going to happen during Dads and Donuts? And what's the vision going forward for Dads and Donuts?
The vision for Dads and Donuts is for this to be an empowerment group. We often know the male role model, the male figure, is often absent from a lot of these kids' lives. Instead of bashing and beating down men, we want to uplift and encourage. And during these sessions, you will get parenting time. But there will also be resources, resources on education, employment, resources on fatherhood, and other various things that will help you become a better father and a man. And so I'm excited. September 23rd is our first date, which is a Saturday. And then the next session is on a Friday, October the 6th. And I'm excited about this day because there's a movie that we will watch. And I think all men, regardless of how great you are, should watch this movie. It came out about 2 years ago called Bad Dad Rehab. Great movie. And it came on TV One. And all men should watch it because it will have you thinking. So regardless of how good of a father you may think you are, it will have you thinking. And if you honestly don't believe you are a good father and want to become one, I believe this is a good start. So come out and join us. You're welcome. As this is intended, as I said, to be a movement here in Indianapolis for fathers. No bashing, no putting down. We want to help men where they are.
Absolutely. Okay, so Laser sees the issue and sees the problem and is trying to make a dent in the problem with a solution.
Most definitely.
So in addition to being a support group, in addition to the free meal, in addition to the movie night, will you also have like some sort of classes or like what else is on the calendar for Dads and Donuts? Just so our people know, hey, this is what's going on.
Dads and Donuts also will have a session on October 21st. And the title for that day is just the impact and role of a father in a child's life. And I plan on breaking down the importance of a father being in a child's life, whether that is his daughter or his son. But that male impact is very important and is needed. And then we have a section that I'm very excited about also on co-parenting.
Me too.
And it's called co-parenting. And the title that. It's not about your feelings. It's about the child. And so a lot of people in today's world have this mindset of, I don't want to deal with you, whether it's the mother or the father, so they take it out on the child as well. We don't have to be together to raise this child. And people need to understand that. We do not have to be there. We need to get along and act like adults. Yes, we do. But the child must still be raised. And then there's an online curriculum that we will be putting together that will be announced shortly through our website and through our Facebook page. And that will offer during the week where fathers can log in and also receive different help and resources about fatherhood and parenting. So a lot going on. We're going to keep this thing rolling. The information that's on our Facebook page is for our first four sessions. Soon you will see the next four, and we're going to keep it going.
All right. So the Laser Project is doing the thing in the city of Indianapolis. As far as addressing regret, we've talked about parents and, you know, some of the ones that you've come across in your professional life and how sometimes they end up in, you know, bad situations, even though, you know, they may have tried all that they, quote unquote, know how to do. Because I'm sure you hear that, I tried, I did this, I did that. I get that.
Yes.
Laser Project is also in some of the schools. And
yes.
I've noticed, you know, during with our collaboration and our work together, even on this week, one of the schools, which shall remain nameless, great school, but one of the schools, I'm in there, we walk in and like it really impacted me, but I didn't have time to process it then, but I've processed it since. We've got the kids in uniform. The classroom is set up immaculately. They've got the latest technology in front of them, but we've got behaviors that are just off the wall. This is elementary school. This is kindergarten, first, maybe second grade as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we have students who are not appreciating the technology that they have. They're not grasping that this is time to learn. And there's a couple of different reasons. And then there's just this behavior. There's one that's rooted in anger. And there's a couple, you know, these like, some medication may or may not be needed. So what do you – I don't even know. Like, so when you come across situations like this, Mr. Thomas, what's one of the first things that, you know, that a parent can do? Like, if you have a child – and you're constantly getting these calls about their behavior, does this necessarily mean that this child will necessarily be labeled or targeted later on in life? And do you by chance know some of the things or resources that parents have available to them to help support them to get their child's behavior in check so that learning can happen?
Most definitely. If you're getting those phone calls on a regular basis or know someone, it is time to intervene now and intervene fast. Having a background in the residential setting as well, I've seen kids who take 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 pills a day and still have behavior problems.
Mm-hmm.
And so the medicine is not the answer. In certain situations, yes, the medicine helps. But just constantly giving a kid the medicine with no type of other intervention, it just doesn't work. And so when we see these signs of these kids who are 5, 6 years old with anger issues, yes, we have to intervene fast. And a lot of times we must pay attention to their environment. I know a lot of people don't like to hear that, and a lot of parents, you're doing your best, but your child may go to daycare, your child may go to grandma's house, uncle's house, some point of time during the day. And we must remember that kids that age, their brains are like sponges. They are soaking up any and everything around them. So if it's nothing but negativity, whether it's from me watching something negative on TV or tablet, or I see it with my own eyes, that's what I'm going to put out. And so definitely, once again, some of the programs that we named earlier, including Laser Project, have staff who can work with children that young, 6, 7, 8 years old. And that's another reason for the dad and donuts, is oftentimes we found also a lot of these kids come from single-parent homes. And so, once again, I'm not taking anything away from anybody. Shout out to those single parents. But that's where the dads and donuts, we want to play a part in helping them understand, listen, it's not about you, what you think. It is about the child. And the child needs both parents. The mother and father must come together to get this done. And in many cases, as you know as well, we must give credit to those men who are the single father, because there are a lot of men out there who have their child due to the mother not doing right. So it's not a, you know, as society, when we hear single parent or things like that, we first thing we think about is, okay, well, he only has a mother, or he only lives with his mother. There are a lot of fathers out here doing the best that they can, and that goes both ways, okay? If the father's doing his part, little Junior still need mama too. So mama, you got to, you can't party and drive it like it's hot no more. Them days is over. You got to come on in and get right to it.
So one of the, I think, I'm not sure if you're going to hit on that later on, but one of the main resources that parents have in the school system is the guidance counselor or the guidance department. Because if you partner that report that the guidance counselor will come with, matched with your pediatrician's report, you are starting a paper trail. And these are documented events by quote-unquote professionals that will help point you in the direction of the resources that you need. What I've noticed in talking to parents is that sometimes they don't want to admit that their child needs help because they see it as something bad on them. So I like the fact that for the co-parenting session that Dads and Donuts will be having, you labeled it, it's not about your feelings, it's about your child. I think a lot of times we get our feelings in the way of getting our children the help that they need.
Yes.
What do you think about that? Okay. I just want to make sure
I
was discussing that situation.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
The other thing that I noticed in the school this week, and even at the tutoring session this week, is that I understand it's still the first month of school, but the children, a lot of the children, had on shoes that were way more expensive than the shoes I had on, but they still had these behavior problems. And I think if, you know, a lot of parents would redistribute funds as far as getting the child the help that they may need, you know, on a behavioral support level, rather than the latest pair of sneakers, when the child obviously goes to school that has uniforms and the uniforms are in place, so there is no, you know, competition between what the children are wearing and who's wearing this, who's wearing that, and now the competition has gone solely to their feet. Let's not focus on the competition. Let's put something in your head, not just on your feet. Do you see that as an issue still today, or was I just seeing something extra?
Oh, no, that is a major issue, a major issue. It's funny because I say some parents struggle paying bills or struggle with this and that, but the kid got on the $1,500 wardrobe. I mean, we are in the day and we're in the day and age where they have pants out here, a pair of pants that costs between $300 $500. That's just the pants. So I haven't bought a shirt. I ain't bought a shoe. I haven't even bought a sock. But the pants itself is a car note. Just the pants.
And let's not talk about the cell phone.
Yeah, see, we hadn't even got to all of that. So definitely redistributing those funds. And I just don't... I guess I don't understand why, or why wouldn't you? Somebody's offering tutoring or mentoring, and it's $15, $20 a week. Why wouldn't you invest that in your child? especially if you see they need it, or especially if you're giving it a chance and you see that it's working. So that is something, redistributing the funds to things that will help the child. But once again, that comes to parents not thinking about themselves, but thinking about the child.
So in relationship to guilt and to shame and to regret, I don't know a parent who has had a child in the DCS system that did not experience that regret. How do we get from, dang, I shoulda, I woulda, I coulda, to creating a plan to move forward? Because if we get stuck in the shoulda, woulda, coulda, we can stay there, we can spiral into depression, it can have negative effects on, while our child is away from the home, it affects the other kids who are in the home, because now you're spending extra money for J-Pay or whatever it's called in the prison system, because you got to put money on Day-Day's books, and you got to do this and provide for the child that's away from the home because of their actions. So how do we help people, or make better, a tool that you even use for yourself? Like if you feel a certain way about a choice that you've made, like what's something that you do? Okay, so I made this choice. It was a couple years ago. I see the consequences of that choice. This is what I do now, or this is how I freed myself from being in bondage to regret.
So with that, when it comes to shame or when it comes to regret, there's two other words that we have to add to the list, and that's responsibility and accountability. And so I may regret doing this or doing that, but in order for it to change, or like you said, so I'm not continuously thinking about that, and daily I'm getting sad, more sad, and now I'm depressed, I must hold myself accountable and understand, okay, for whatever reason, I did that. And so something that I often teach to teens when I work with them, you do have free will to do whatever you want in this life, in this world, believe it or not. But what you can't do is choose your consequence. We have to understand that. I can go do whatever I want to do right now. But if I choose to do something that I know is wrong, I don't get to choose my consequence. I don't get to choose what happens to me and how it happens to me. I have to put up with it. And so just holding yourself accountable and understanding, okay, I made a mistake, and vowing to yourself not to do it again and trying your best not to do it, and then going forward. But when we get in that of regret, depression, embarrassment, sadness, shame, or guilt, then that's where we stay, because that's all we're thinking about is, woe is me, this happened to me, and this won't change, and it will change. But it's up to us to understand the word responsibility and accountability and do what we need to do to make the situation better.
All right. So what if you come across parents that have multiple children within the system? So there's been maybe a removal from the home, and we're not just talking, you know, like a criminal justice system, but you got kids in the DCS system. How do you work with those parents? You know, what's the other thing? Okay, so I've taken accountability. Okay, so, yeah, I was on drugs for about 3 years. Yeah, I wasn't parent of the year. How do you get them to parent and not just parent out of guilt and be okay with their parental choices?
That's where a good parent education session comes in. And a good starting point with that is, first of all, understanding a lot of people turn to drugs trying to escape life's daily hassles, stress. So trying to escape that. So I figure I'll go get high. It may last a couple of hours. I may even take something that lasts a day. But when that's over with and I come back down to my baseline, those problems or issues are still there. And so teaching people, understanding, letting them know also, I have a saying I tell people. I said, stress kills too. I said, we often think about death. We think about guns. We think about drugs. But stress kills also. And so starting there, yeah. Identifying, okay, you were stressed out about something or something didn't go your way. You turned to this. But as a result, as I said earlier, you can't choose your consequences. Your children were taken away. And then helping them understand brain development in children. I think that is a big piece that's not being taught, or a lot of people don't know because everybody didn't go to college for psychology. But understanding that what your kids see, or what you do in front of your kids does affect them. And there's no such thing as they too young, they don't understand. That is soaking into their brain. Yeah, they understand. And so starting there to help them see the importance of their children or their kids or their decision-making and how their decision-making affects their kids. So that is the best way to start, because if they don't understand that, then they don't care, because you'll work with a family, multiple children, kids are taken away, and that parent still stuck in regret or whatever other feeling that they have, they still will not be compliant with whatever services have been given to them to get their children back. And dealing with that as a provider is very sad, or something that you don't want to go through.
Wow. All right. So I'm looking at the time, and I'm like, okay, so we kind of have to bring it to a close. But I think, you know, that you dropped a ton of golden nuggets, and that the replays on this episode are going to be great because it was a lot. But in closing, is there anything, like a final thought that you have on guilt and shame and regrets with parenting? And then, of course, what's the contact information for Laser Project just one more time?
All right, I do. So on guilt, shame, regret, one thing about life is everybody make mistakes. I think I've only heard of one perfect man, and his name is Jesus. So please know that anybody around you, it doesn't matter from the pastor to your cousin to whoever, they're not perfect. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So don't beat yourself up when you make a mistake, but hold yourself accountable and then do something about it. Because we laugh or we talk about people who we seem maybe crazy or insane, but that definition is just continuing to do the same thing over and over and expecting a different outcome. So we must change our ways and our thinking. We must work on that. And as for Laser Project, once again, website www.thelaserproject.com. You can email us, contact@thelaserproject.com. You can find us on Facebook at The Laser Project Indy. And then if you want to reach us by phone, 317-986-7319.
317-986-7319. All right. Well, Mr. Thomas, thank you so much for your late night conversation. I appreciate you.
My pleasure.
Appreciate the family sharing you with us tonight. In closing, because we did talk a lot about regret and parental regret, I totally agree that I've only heard of one perfect person as well. And the one thing I do is I allow myself to be free to make the mistake. Yep, I did what I did. I think Steve Harvey put it this way. I am who I am, and I was who I was, and I'm okay with both of those people. Because who you were and what you did then was only foundation. It's not the totality of who you are. Yep, it happened. It sure did. Own that. And now how do I move forward? Step by step, day by day. It's like eating an elephant. You can only do it one bite at a time. And any progress forward is still progress. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I cannot wait till next week's Couch Conversation. This show again is Outreach of Blessed and Know It Ministry. Check out our website, ministries.com. I'm your host, Rev J. Y'all have another great week. Talk to you soon. Thank you again, Mr. Thomas. Bye-bye.
Bye.